Today on a haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a mother tries desperately to get the sleep she needs. However, night after night, she is tormented by figures and sounds that she cannot explain. After trying nearly everything to drown out the torture she suffers night after night, can she ever fully escape? They ask the question and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want access to all the extras we got out there for you, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all of our shows over the last nearly 10 years. And we do it multiple days a week. So that's how it's turned into the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You get all that, plus the bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, extra podcast person episodes, and all of it's commercial free. You get advanced episodes too, like a month in advance. So all that there, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Sorry, I was a little late getting ready for the program tonight. I was actually on the phone calling in for my nightly check-in with jury duty.
Ooh. So, like, are you on jury duty right now? Like, you got past, you're a juror?
Well, here's what happened in my situation. I don't know how it is every place else, but apparently, and this is the first time in my entire life I've had to do it, which is strange. Mm-hmm. 'Cause, you know, I'm half a century old and they're just coming after me now. But apparently I was on call Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week, called last night on a Sunday, didn't have to do anything Monday. They weren't going to have any trials. Tonight I called. Not only was my name not on the list, but they said at the very end, if we did not call your name, you were excused for the rest of the week. So I don't have to worry about it this go around.
So, like, next week you're back on? Is this like junior high?
Where it's my one shot, and then I'm eligible for it again in 4 years. But my question is, number one, how do they determine, because there was a long list of people that have to show up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
How was it determined that I was not on that list? And then once they pull all these people in, there's still a selection process that goes through. How did they choose? Because my plan was, if I got chosen to have to go in, I was going to go in. Mm-hmm. I was going to dress really scuzzy and I was going to talk to myself an awful lot and just see if I could get out of it in some way, shape or form. That was my plan. And I have to be honest. I worked ahead tonight so that if I had to go in tomorrow, I'd be all set.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset that I don't get to go in and try that process out.
That would have been fun. I love that idea. I've always contemplated like what I would do to get out of it. But I've never been called.
Beep, boop, beep, beep, yep. Beep. My name is Todd.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, boop.
Yep, exactly. And they'll be like...
aluminum foil hat.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing, I was ready to go. I was going to put oven mitts on my hands.
That would be good. Wear a cape of some sort as well. And
like a blanket or something.
Yeah, like. Yeah. And have the Dracula teeth in the like the one they're the cheap children's ones, so they don't fit right at all, and then you just talk really weird.
Actually, I'd put the teeth in the oven mitt and make the oven mitt like a puppet. The
oven mitt talks. I love it.
I'm really kind of upset because I wanted to see what the process was like and just see if there was any way I could sneak out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder how often do people do things of that nature to get out of jury duty? Like, because this is obviously a place where you can't like roll cameras or anything. So I wonder what, you know, the people who make those selections have seen, like what some of the craziest shit people have done or said to get out of jury duty.
I would think it's got to be tough because number one, who wants to give up, you know, and the trial could be more than a week long if you get into like a murder trial or something. So you have to give all that up. Like in my situation, they pay you $25 a day to go, but that certainly doesn't pay expenses.
No.
So, I mean, what a pain in the ass.
And if you're self-employed or something and it's all on you, it's like, sorry, there's no way in hell I'm going. I couldn't Correct. Afford to do it. So, Correct. Yeah, it's kind of an archaic way of doing things, but I don't know. So many things like that are.
I would love to be like a paid juror, like actually make money to go and be like a full-time juror. That's all I did. I'd be all about that.
So answer me this, and this is probably something I could just Google and I never have, but I always hear it. You know, when someone says they convened a grand jury to like convict somebody, but it's not the trial. It's just like, you're convicted. Now you're going to go to trial. What the hell is a grand jury? Who is that made up of?
I think it's the same situation, but I think it's like a pretrial thing where they decide whether or not it should go to trial.
And this is, and a grand jury is also like, that's part of jury duty. You could end up on a grand jury.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Is that how that works?
I think so. I think it's just like any other trial situation, other than the fact that they're just trying to put out the mm-hmm. attorneys are trying to make a case yeah. for having a trial.
Okay. I didn't know what that was. I thought it was like really, you know, special people.
Because it's grand.
We must find the grandest in the land for this jury.
Yes. Well, a mother is a mother, but a grandmother is a grandmother. So a grand jury.
Exactly. So it's like the pillars of the community. So if you're in a small town, it's like, go get Sophia at the bakery. She shall be on this grand jury. And it's just like all like the town elders and such. And then everybody shows. Yeah, that's what I viewed it as.
It'd even be even more fun if it was like in England or something and they wore the wigs. That would be fun.
They require the wigs no matter what.
See, yes. I could have showed up with one of those wigs on. That would have been great.
That would have been, yes. Just add it to the costume. That would have been wonderful. All right, let's go to our first story. Phone number is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. First lady says, first, thank you for giving me the chance to tell my story. I'm a mom of six boys, and sometimes I feel crazy for seeing the things I do. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been able to hear and see things, but nothing ever like I've been experienced here of late. My whole family got COVID in September, all nine of us in the house. Well, sick with COVID, I started to see four dark figures standing in my bedroom at night. Not only would I see them, but after a few nights, I could hear them whispering to each other. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but I would just lay there and watch them. The weird thing was that I was never really scared, more interested in them than anything. So we all get better, COVID leaves the house, but the figures remain. Almost every single night they'd be there. After a month or so in a random conversation, my 15-year-old tells me that he has also been seeing them, and it started while he had COVID as well. Got to the point where he was taking melatonin before bed to help him sleep. I, on the other hand, tried that among other medications to help me sleep, but nothing worked. So I ended up having a few beers every night before bed, and of course after the kids were asleep, it worked. I could no longer see the figures or hear the whispers, but after a while I knew I needed to stop the nightly drinking. I stopped drinking before bed, and lo and behold, the figures came back. Every night they appear at my closet door and whisper words to one another. I can even see them moving as if they're looking at each other while talking. At this point, even keeping the TV on all night doesn't keep them away. It's almost as if the light of the TV does not exist at that spot in my bedroom. Soon, I learn to just deal with this and ignore them, but it doesn't take long for things to get worse. Soon, my son is seeing them again. He's feeling overwhelming sadness in his bedroom, hearing walking in the attic. There's no way possible anyone got into the attic from outside, nor is it possible someone got past us to get into the attic from inside. But every day, footsteps could be heard coming from above our heads. Even my younger sons all heard this and started to get scared. I, of course, would tell them it was the wind or the house settling, but deep down I knew better. A little backstory on the house. It was built in 1926 on the side of a mountain in a coal region of Pennsylvania. We've searched, but have yet to uncover any information about something happening in the house. So back to the story. My son has now started to stay awake all night long and sleep during the day. I stopped the nightly drinking, ignored the figures, and was sleeping at least a few hours a night. But last night, it all took a turn. I went to bed, and something just didn't feel right. I couldn't put a finger on what was wrong, but something for sure was different. I ended up falling asleep only to have a very vivid dream about a house, but not my house, that was very old. As I sit here typing this, I can still remember the details. From this huge spiral staircase to the beautiful old bedroom set, the house had lots of paranormal activity and the spirits could manipulate the way you felt and even the way that you moved. I remember not being scared, more intrigued and interested than anything else. It was all very real and even the four figures were there. I'd walk down a hallway and see them around a corner. They'd be there and they even led me to an area of the house that I could tell was left untouched for years. In this area, I found an old kitchen with a little attached apartment, assuming possibly servant quarters given the time period. I remember hearing water running only to realize there was a real live person living there. I peered into this apartment area and recognized the person as a wanted murderer. Now, there's no such thing going on in my area at this moment, so I have no idea how this even makes sense, but these four figures lead me to this person hidden away in this old house. Before I continue this story, I have to say that this dream happened all night. I'd wake up here and there, go back to sleep, only to continue this dream right where I left off. But in these times, I was awake. There were these figures whispering among each other in the dark. At one point while awake, I was lying there trying to go back to sleep, and I felt something sit down right beside me on the bed. I was awake because I sat up and actually looked at that area. Be sure, I would have seen an indent on the bed. I didn't. I just knew something was there. Soon I felt it actually move and get up off the bed. I hurried and threw the covers off and ran to the bathroom. I was shaking and crying out of fear. After a little while, I went back to bed and fell asleep one more time before daylight. Again, the dream continued right where I had left off, just as if I had been watching a movie and paused it. I never confronted the murderer, but I did go onto this apartment and look around while he was busy in the bathroom. I remember finding newspaper clippings from his murders and even the weapons he used, but as far as I can remember, I never saw a name or any identifying information. As I was leaving the house, the figures continued to be around the corner or down the hallway, watching my every move. I woke up for the same day soon after with a sense of fear and dread, but it also was a sense that I was given this information for a reason. Part of me is scared of what tonight will bring. Will the dreams continue? Will the figures be there once again? And will something sit beside me again? To be continued, I guess. Well, that was an interesting one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be a nice little short story writer there.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's strange. The story sounds like whatever these beings are, these entities, it's like they were waiting to figure out whether or not this person could deal with the information. And I wonder if somehow they took this individual on a traveling situation or something. I don't know. Something's really up here. And I hope we get more stories to figure out what is going on.
Yeah, I'd be very, very curious to see, you know, what how this progresses. So please do continue to write in or even call in with how this progresses, because I think you got us all hooked now. Those are kind of interesting when it's a very fluid situation while it is happening and it's being reported on. We had a couple of them on the shows over the years. There was Richard in Chattanooga. Did I ever tell you about Richard in Chattanooga?
No.
There's a whole episode I should send to you where I just ended up putting all of his phone calls together. And this was almost like probably 8 years ago. He called. It was having problems. These things in his home were feeling very weird. He was hearing things, seeing things. There was just a very negative vibe. His family wasn't getting along. Whole nine yards. It was just a really dark situation. He kept calling and kind of telling us how things were progressing. And then one call, he's sitting there talking and there's this noise that comes over the phone And the way I describe it, because I didn't think anything of it at the time, is like when you open a patio door and you get that whoosh sound.
Right, right.
That's what it sounded like. So I'm just assuming, you know, maybe he's walking around and he opened his patio door. That's all I thought it was. I never even commented on it on that first episode because never thought anything of it. I start getting emails and calls the next day, probably got like 50, from people all over the country, all over the world, really, that said, what the hell was that noise on that call? My stomach literally dropped. Like, I felt sick to my stomach when I heard it. Everybody's saying the same thing. You know, same sort of deal, same sort of reaction to that sound. I still get calls and messages today when people go back and listen to that one in the archive if they don't know what they're going to be listening to. But it was the most bizarre thing. He then ends up writing and telling me that he found some very interesting articles in his mother's attic, things that kind of pertained to her possibly being involved in some occult things.
Ooh.
He has a tattoo that his mom let him, he wanted a tattoo when he was a kid, but mom said, you can only get this one. So he said, sure. And it's some sort of occult symbol as well. And there's another friend of his that they were really close to that the time. He has a matching one. And they both had, I believe, parents that were kind of into this stuff, but secretly. And that's where it ended. We never heard from him again. He just kind of stopped talking. I don't know what, if he just wanted to get away from it because it was getting so dark or what. I did get one, and it could have been absolutely nothing, but it was like a year or two later. One phone call, just a guy saying, just want you to know, Richard in Chattanooga, he's doing okay. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore, but he's very real, and that's it. And they just hung up. So I don't know. I don't know if that was just somebody, you know, BSing. Who the hell knows? But it was a very strange story that drug on for a long time.
So, and then I'm sitting here thinking, well, maybe somebody did away with him. And then you said, well, somebody called, said he's okay. But what if it was like the people who got rid of him and they're just trying to cover it up?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
That's a creepy story too. There's your movie of the week.
Yeah.
Right there.
We had another one. We had Oscar, Glenn, the security guard, who was at a, it was like an old, you know, it was a grand type hotel at one time. Then it was like very low income housing and had a lot of drug problems. And they were trying to rehabilitate it. And he was there as they were like remodeling it as a security guard at night. And the stories he had and the videos he took, it was like, oh my God, it was crazy. And it just seemed to go on and on. But it was dark. It was very dark as well. I remember him saying that he thought something had kind of followed him home. There was a very negative energy around him and his family for a while. I think things kind of calmed down a little bit. But then the tragic twist in the whole story, it was last year. He was working for AAA and got killed on the side of the road.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to go there with it because I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
I know. I mean, and then, you know, and I don't want to like, you know, rush to ghost stories when somebody dies in a tragic accident. But there was more than one person who, you know, reached out and said, you know, all that negativity and stuff. Do you think that this is something? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. And it's nothing I'd really want to, you know, say. I would know either way, but. You know, is there some reason to raise an eyebrow? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, that was just, it was so sad. He was a good guy. I think I even had him on an episode of the Grave Talks one day. We did a whole episode of just him kind of recounting things in an interview type style format. It was really interesting. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to this call and hear your real ghost story.
Hey, Tony. My name's Keegan. I'm from Ontario. been a longtime listener of the show, and I've been itching to share my story for a couple of years now. I've got three pretty good ones, and I'll try and get through them quickly. So, I'm from Ontario, Canada, but I lived in England until I was about 8 or 9 years old, and we lived in a very old farmhouse that was originally built in the early 1400s. The living room of the house would have been the original cottage where the original owners leaned and slept, all in one little room. And then over, you know, the following centuries, they added onto the house, and by the time we lived in there, it was about 7,000 square feet. It was a massive home, and it was a historical property called Grange Farm in Vila, England, just outside of Norwich. So we lived there from the time I was about 2 years old till about 6 years old. I might have been three. Anyhow, my parents would put me to bed every night, and they would hear, you know, running around and giggling, and they'd go up, and I wouldn't have moved. I'd be in the same. And this happened every single night. Every night they would hear the giggling, they would hear the running around in my bedroom and all around the upper floor of the house. Some nights it would sound like, you know, one child's footsteps, and some nights it would sound like a stampede of children. And, you know, by the end of it, they just stopped looking. They stopped checking. They knew that whatever it was, it wasn't me. And my parents have a slew of other stories that they need to call in and tell about that farmhouse. From my experience in that farmhouse, I don't remember any of this, any children playing with me in the room. I used to tell them that I had friends that I would talk to, and I don't remember any of this. My only memory from the farmhouse was just the feeling of being chased up and down the stairs, and I remember I would run to the bathroom and back, and I would get spooked, and I spent many nights, you know, sleeping in bed with my parents, like I think a lot of toddlers and young children do. Fast forward about 10 years later, I'm 13 or 14. We're living in Canada at this point. We're on vacation in Florida. We're staying in a hotel on an island called Singer Island, which is just outside of West Palm Beach. And we were there. I felt really nervous. I felt uneasy. I didn't feel good. I felt like I was being watched. I would hear footsteps, bare feet on the tile floor. It was very distinctive. And, you know, I heard this. We were there for 7 days, and I heard this for the first 3 or 4 nights. My parents heard it too. But we were in, you know, separate bedrooms, and you know, it was pretty freaky. Now, on the third or fourth day while we were staying there, I was up alone in the room, Snapchatting your 14-year-old does. And I was sitting with my back to the window, which oversees the beach and the ocean, and in front of me there was a wall with no TV, no photo on it, about 6 feet away from where I was sitting. It was kind of like a foyer area. You walked in, you took your shoes off there and whatnot, and then you entered the rest of the condo or the hotel room. So as I'm taking Snapchats and whatnot, I sent a Snapchat to my cousin and a few friends of me holding a pair of binoculars up to my face. And I sent it to about 4 or 5 people. It was a selfie with the binoculars up to my face and the window behind me. Somebody screenshotted it and sent it back to me. In the lens of the binoculars was a face, and not a misty, classic, you know, apparition that you typically see. It was a face as clear as day. And there were 3 reflections of the face. There was a reflection in the binoculars. Because of the lens of the binoculars, the face appeared upside down. But in the mirror, in the window behind me, the face was clear as, I mean, you could make it out. It looked like a Hispanic lady. It looked like she was wearing a collar, like a maid's outfit. Her hair was up. I mean, it's clear as day. It looked like a headshot. Because of the window and the glare on the binoculars, the color was a little bit distorted, but I believe whatever was in front of me that I couldn't see was a full solid apparition for just a split second. So like anyone would. I panic and I head downstairs, go to the pool bar where my parents were, and I start sharing the photo with people around it. Next thing you know, there's this big, you know, all the staff wants to see the photo. Now everyone's gathered around us telling stories. Turns out the hotel has all sorts of stories of seeing a Hispanic maid, woman, walking down the hallways. There were even stories of her greeting herself in a Spanish accent. And then, you know, it would dawn on the employee, I've never met that woman before, or I've never seen her before. And they'd go looking for her and they never found her. Now, this happened for years and years that this hotel had been, it was pretty old. It was probably 80, 90 years old at the time. I'd like to know for certain how old it was, but they all shared stories with us. So it was certain that there was some activity going on, and I wasn't the first to notice it. So obviously I'm pretty freaked out. I don't want to sleep in my room anymore. So I'm sleeping on the couch just outside of my parents' room. Keep in mind, I'm about 14, 15 years old. I'm a little too old to be scared. I was scared shitless. Activity increased tenfold. Every night, my parents would hear it. We would hear it. There was a fan above the microwave that would go off. We would hear the feet on the tile floor, a very distinct sound. We would hear the jiggling of our sliding door. We would hear doors opening and closing. This was a condo-type unit. It was two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a living room and a front foyer. It was a pretty big unit. And we heard this for the next 3 days. It was so bad that I was sleeping on the floor of my parents' room. And the one thing that would happen almost every night was there's a fan underneath the microwave, because the microwave is under the stove, so like a stovetop fan in our kitchen there in the condo. And this fan would go off every single night. Now, the interesting thing about this fan is there was one button. You click it once, it goes to the first setting. You click it twice, it goes to the second setting. You click it three times, it goes to the strongest setting. And then you click it a fourth time, and it shuts off. Which means whatever it was that was turning on this fan would have had to have hit the button three times, because whenever we went out to turn the fan off, it was at its highest setting. We had maintenance come take a look at the fan. They couldn't figure it out. It only happened in the middle of the night. And it would almost always happen when at least one of us was awake. We noticed that as well. We never woke up to the sound of the fan. We woke up to some weird noises in our unit, and then the fan would turn on. And we would hear the three clicks of the button as the fan, escalated its mode. So that was pretty freaky. We left there with a ton of stories. I'm going to send you a DM on Instagram so you can have the photo for yourself and you can take a look at it. It's very eerie.
There you go. Creepy story. Thoughts on all that?
Did you ever get the picture? Did you get a chance to look at it?
I don't know if I did or not, because honestly, I don't look at my Instagram DMs very much.
So. I just think that's one of those creepy things when you're not expecting to see something in a picture. It's the same thing when you're not expecting to hear something in audio. Mm-hmm. And you're going, but you know, if you're on an investigation and you're asking questions and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, when you listen back to it, there's responses.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as getting that picture with a face that you didn't see in front of your eyes. And there's just nothing like that. And I know we've talked about this before. We both kind of grew up in our professional lives in the world of audio. Mm-hmm. So you know what is being recorded. You know what's actually there. When there's something there that shouldn't be there, it's just, it's mind blowing sometimes. Even today, after all these years, I hear something that wasn't there to my naked hearing. And it's like, wow, that's just incredible to me.
You know, I've never had that experience. I've never picked up.
You've never got an EVP?
No, I've never, like, I mean, I've tried a little bit here and there, but nothing serious. But I'm just speaking, like, in all of the years of playing around in production rooms and recording stuff, just, you know, all the outtakes and everything. Never heard anything in those sort of settings, which I'm actually kind of surprised by when I look back on that. That's like 20 some years of that, you know?
And I would just say to that, that maybe it's possible that there was something that you just, because you weren't expecting to hear anything or actually searching for it, you may have missed some stuff along the way.
Maybe. I don't know. I would also argue that I'm super tuned in when I'm doing a piece of production that I think I don't know. But you're right, because sometimes you just know what you're trying to get to, then you just kind of scroll past things. I get what right. you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the EVP, what was it like? I mean, the first, where was it? What was it when you first had that experience?
God, it's been so darn long. I don't remember my first EVP. I think that one of them that was crazy to me was we were doing an investigation in Wisconsin on Washington Island. Mm-hmm. And we asked, we were getting a lot of other stuff. In fact, we got a verbal growl from something in midair that wasn't visible to us. Mm-hmm. And in asking for a name, going back afterward and listening to it and hearing the name we thought we were talking to come through.
Yeah.
That was kind of mind blowing at that point.
Yeah. That would be creepy. I think I don't know. I think I like it. I think it was cool, but I think I'd be really, it would take me a couple of days, I think, to process that having it happen to me, you know, personally to have
that growl. I had never had something like that before.
That's creepy.
And you're like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know, and for a minute you kind of put it to the side because you're thinking, well, it could be anything. And then it happens again. And you're like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good though, man. There's that it's just mind blowing.
You could get them every single day if you decided to move back to Fond du Lac and live at 276 Linden Street, otherwise known as the Octagon House.
On I was sale. Just looking at that place. Do you know that? Yesterday, somebody brought up Octagon Houses, and I've always wanted to buy an Octagon House, and yeah. I think that one's been for sale forever. It'd be perfect.
It just went back up, I believe. I think it was off the market for a while. 186.9 is where it's at right now.
That's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's down from what it was, but I mean, it's got, didn't you, you did an investigation or two there when we were in radio back then, didn't you?
Yeah, it was the first actual paranormal investigation I ever did was back doing the morning show there for Halloween, and we had a group come in to investigate through the night. Yep.
Yeah. Was that at Sunny, or was that?
That was Sunny, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be honest, we've investigated there several times.
Yeah, because I thought
we've gotten some minor stuff, but yeah. We've never gotten a ton of stuff.
That was like kind of a more of a serious paranormal investigation, that one. But I thought you had done some like even way back, like would it have been like Classic Mix or over at 107.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right. I totally forgot about those. We went out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went
out for Classic Mix early doing mornings with Terry. We did. You're right.
I remember. Because I was a kid. I was listening to you.
I don't even remember that.
There you go.
Until you bring it up.
I've listened to you my whole life growing up. So yeah, I remember the shit that you did.
Remember taking a crap today.
It's just so funny. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it was, I was always so fascinated. I used to park in front of that building every day when I worked there, and because I went to high school down the road, and then there was like, they never ticketed that street for whatever reason, and it's right by the police station, 2-hour parking all day, never got a ticket in however many years I was parking there.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online